Ed and Rizan Ferrelli on 2FM
with Virgin Mobile. Go from scrolling through stories to creating your own. Freedom is calling. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
Now, this woman has told us about human poo on the moon, UFOs, and even the chemistry of love. So what has my favourite space cadet, Dr. Niamh Shaw, got for us today? Good morning, Dr. Niamh. How are you?
I'm great. I love my description, pooing on the moon.
Oh, you give us all sorts.
That'll be on my epitaph.
You give us all sorts.
Pooing on the moon. That's great.
We need to know about this stuff, and you're the only person that can tell us. Can we?
I love it.
Niamh, can we start with the basics? Where are you, and what's happening there?
So I'm in Portugal. I'm in a place called Oeiras, which is outside Lisbon, and I'm here every summer. Basically, I give time to this space studies program, which is this global 9-week kind of residential program where people all over the world who are just as insanely passionate as I am about space, we all meet, and people who haven't done the program before do the program, and people who have done the program, they all come back and we all kind of work on it in one shape or form. So I've got the honor this year of helping with the first third of the 9 weeks, which is bringing lecturers from all over the world who have expertise in space. And right now there's a lecture happening in the metaverse with the chief scientist of Blue Origin, who's involved in designing the science experiments on the design of a new space station, which has been designed by Blue Origin. And she just gave a lecture earlier this morning about our inner ear and how confused we get when we go to space. So I'm having a ball,
Oh my God, it's a nerdy, it's a nerd's electric picnic, isn't it?
That's it, except it goes on for 9 weeks.
I bet you're in a jock when you come back.
There's a deorbit. You're kind of going, I don't know what to do with my life. Yeah, I'm only here for the first month though. But yeah, it's amazing.
Okay.
Amazing,
well, listen, what is the big news about the moon that's coming soon?
Well, there's just so much. So what's happening now is we've got kind of two things happening. We've got the government space agencies like NASA and the European Space Agency doing amazing things. And then we've got these commercial players like SpaceX, really. I mean, effectively SpaceX and Blue Origin coming in on the inside lane. So, this year I have been back and forth to NASA to follow their quest to return people to the moon. And their mission is called Artemis. And they've been working away on a rocket called the Space Launch System for many years, and they've tested it. And last week, they finally went through this block of tests that they've been trying to succeed at since March. And now they're happy and they're all systems go. And we're going to get a date very soon for their very first test flight to go to the moon and back. No people on board, but the next one will have people on board. Meanwhile, coming in on the inside lane, we have SpaceX, who I think most people at this stage know who SpaceX are. You know, Elon Musk, I think everybody knows who this person is, but they have a company and they have been basically revolutionizing the whole space sector because they found a way of making rockets reusable. These are really, really, really expensive things, and now they've found a way of just refilling them and launching them again, refilling them and launching them again. And his latest thing is that he's had the Falcon 9 going up and forth to the International Space Station for a couple of years now, being contracted by NASA. But we've been waiting a long time for this new spacecraft called Starship. And Starship is bigger than this rocket that NASA have been working on, the Space Launch System. It's the size of the spire. So if anybody's in Dublin City today and you happen to be on O'Connell Street, go up to the spire and look up. That is the height of the rocket that he's just created. It's 121 metres, which is the exact same height as the spire.
Sure, you get nothing in there.
Nothing. But I know it's way bigger. I mean, it's way bigger, but the height of it is the same.
Gotcha.
And this rocket, they were waiting for a long time to get clearance from the Federal Aviation Authority for all the checks and stuff. And they got the checks, which means that once they have a few environmental checks to do, which means that pretty soon they'll be allowed to launch that and test it. And that is for hire. That's a spacecraft for hire. So while up until now, the people that have gone to the moon have been space agencies like NASA, with SpaceX involved, it means that who wants a ticket to the moon? And we have two people already that have paid. We have a Japanese guy called Yusaku Maezawa, who was supposed to have picked 8 artists to go to the moon with him to orbit the moon. And then we also have this other man called Jared Isaacson, who had a 4-person crew orbit Earth for 4 days last September, and he's paid for a Starship trip as well. So it's for hire.
How much are we talking?
Ridiculous money. think of your weekly Tesco shop and multiply it by two. You know, that kind of crazy money.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy money. I couldn't even put a number on it. It's crazy numbers. But it means that the whole area of who is going to get on the moon is going to change. So, you know, NASA might decide, forget about their rocket, that they, you know, their space launch system. And they might then just say, listen, actually, SpaceX, can we hire your rocket? And we're going to send our astronauts that way. But it doesn't mean anymore that it could mean that civilians could be the first people to return to the moon and not, you know, qualified NASA astronauts or our European astronauts. It just completely blows everything out of the water. It's just timelines. Mm. And then I was listening to Elon Musk talk about it. If you like Elon Musk and you want to know more, and people like podcasts, I listened to a podcast by this guy called Lex Fridman, and he had Elon Musk on, and he said, so when do you think you'll be getting to Mars? And there's this pause for about like 30 seconds, like silence. And I was like, oh my God, is my podcast paused? It happened. It was him. And Elon then goes, I'd say in the next 9 years. Mars, not even the moon, Mars. Yeah. Mars.
Is that even possible? What's like? He's not. He's not a scientist. He's just a man with loads of money.
Oh no! He's a very smart guy. No, he's a really
very smart guy. But can I ask you, Niamh? When was the last time humans were actually on the moon?
So the last time humans were on the moon was with the Apollo program, which, you know, that was when we first saw the first two people on the moon, which happened to be men. They're lost, not ours. Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin. And the last person on the moon was in 1972, and it was Apollo 17. It was in December. And we had a geologist on that mission, which was great. So he took a ton of rocks, and we have them. And they've actually been testing them recently to see if we can grow food on the moon. And that was 1972. And nobody's gone back since, because it's the spacecraft. So it's you need a huge amount, a massive rocket, in order to thrust something that far away and onwards to the moon. And that's why this Starship, this rocket that Elon's designed, and the Space Launch System, these are mega rockets. Like, I stood beside the Space Launch System rocket there on St. Patrick's Day, because it came out of the building where they assemble it, which is called the Vehicle Assembly Building, and they rolled it to the launch pad, and I was there. Holy moly, it's huge. And it has to be, because it has to get it has to basically, if you think about it, it's kind of like if you had a bucket, right, full of water or something, and you wanted to kind of, like the shot put. It's kind of like the shot put. If you were doing shot put, you see how much they have to spin the ball before they throw it. Okay, they don't need to spin it that much if they want to get it a meter, but if they want to get it 100 meters, they have to spin the hell out of it. It's the same thing. How they get spacecraft to leave Earth is they have to get it, go really, really fast and orbit Earth a few times, and then like spin it away towards the moon. So you need a really, really powerful rocket to do that. So that's why these mega rockets are being made now.
Come here. Just with the whole Elon Musk thing. A lot of people would be quite skeptical of his intentions, might feel, oh, is this lad, can we trust this guy? Is he a bit of a dictator? Maybe. How do you feel as a scientist? How do people like you feel about Elon Musk?
Well, I guess I will always feel safer when a space agency is involved, because that's government money, right? So they have to be answerable to somebody. So the European Space Agency, of which we are a member, has this meeting called a ministerial every couple of years, where they basically, all the countries in Europe, propose the experiments that they want to do. And we go, can we have this experiment on the International Space Station? Can we go to Jupiter, please? Can we, you know, all these plans. And together, every country votes on what they want. And so we have a say in what happens going forward. And so I feel that's a very ethical and safe way forward. And we have a lot of new law coming into place to make sure all that's enforced. When it gets commercial, which means it's for a lot of companies, it's for profit, it can get a little bit vague. And so the only power we have is information, which is why thank you so much for allowing me to get on your show today, because the more we talk about this, the more we have a chance to have a say in what goes forward, because the only thing we have is our critical mass or our footsteps. You know, it's like, you know, it's like everything. When people start to know about something, it gets out into the public domain and we have a say in it. So we're entering into a very interesting phase where there are a lot of companies that are making a lot of money out of space, and the long term ethics and the long term, effects of each mission. Every time we leave Earth, We do. We have to monitor it. So knowledge is power. And it's a big part of why I do what I do. It's a massive part, because if I can tell as many people as I know what I've learned, then we've more chance of people being able to have a say and have an opinion and enforce governments to make sure that we make law that meets what we as a civilization, as a species, want going forward. Because every time we leave this planet, we're talking about ourselves as a species, not Irish citizens, not European citizens, Earth citizens, you know. And so if a billionaire decides to do something, he's kind of answerable to 8 billion people now. But we have to make sure that those 8 billion people know about it.
Yeah.
Well, or is he? That's right. Mm. So I've kind of been listening to a lot of his interviews and stuff, and he is very good at physics. He really understands the maths of what he's trying to do. There are some initiatives that he does I'm not that impressed with, and then there's other ones that I think are amazing. So my science brain gets really excited when I see things happen, but my human kind of artistic brain is always worrying about the ethics and the philosophy and to make sure that we're doing the right thing. And I think everybody would be the same in that.
You're torn. You're torn as a scientist, whether you say you like him or not. I get it. I get it. Now, I just want to ask you, what is the James Webb telescope and what is it going to tell us?
So that's another amazing. I mean, that's just, I mean, that's been on the go since 1986. So there's people whose whole careers have been based on this one mission. You know, it finally flew in December on Christmas Day. So this is another telescope. It's a telescope in space. I guess the most famous telescope in space that we kind of people might have heard of before is called Hubble. And Hubble has been doing fantastic things. Hubble has been able to send us images that we'd never seen before of our universe. And it helps us understand our story, because we always, humans always put themselves at the center of the story of space. Like, oh, it's all about us. It's not really, you know, we're kind of tiny creatures in the overall scheme of things. So it's important to know the real story. So Hubble uses light to see things. So it uses light, the same light that we use to see, which is known as visible light. But things that are older and further away from us need a different wavelength of light. So you've heard of X-rays when you go to the hospital. You've heard of infrared. You know, they're used for like thermal sensing and stuff like that. Well, infrared light is very good at seeing things that are very far away because they're colder. And so this James Webb telescope is a telescope that has a different set of lens that uses infrared light and not visible light for the Hubble. So we should be able to tell the story of our place in space and the story of the universe much more clearly in a couple of years' time. So it's a very exciting time because they've been testing it for the last 6 months. It's everything has gone really, really well. And now they're finally finishing off their last set of tests, and they're going to share with us images, the test images, but images still the same, of what they've been able to get from these infrared cameras and different pieces of equipment on the James Webb telescope. So everybody's really excited. So that's July 12th. So it's next, this day next week, actually, at around about, so it's 10:20 Eastern time in America. So what's that? That's 3:20 Irish time. There'll be an event from the Dublin Institute of Advanced Physics, because they have scientists involved in this telescope, and they're going to be doing a live event. So definitely tune into that, and I'll be watching as well.
I'm not going to tune into that. I'm going to tell you now.
Jennifer,
I'm not
going to.
But I tell you what, I will do. I will ring you, and you can tell me all about it and break it down for me and explain it. But listen. Will you come back for a chat when you get back from hanging out with all the space people?
I will indeed. I will indeed.
Listen,
I'd love to. Thank
enjoy.
You.
Thank you so much. Bye, Niamh. There we go. Dr. Niamh Shaw, absolute legend, talking all things spacey.
Jennifer Zaffarelli. Weekday morning from 9 on 2FM.